Johnny Manziel. I can't believe our morning host is singing to Johnny.
Get a chance to start at home. Cleveland fans are nuts, and it's obviously a game that going down the stretch, every single one of them is important to us. He's got something that
I can't resist. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But he doesn't even know that
I exist.
Johnny Manziel. Johnny, Scott Petrek, yeah. Who's probably too young to even remember Shelley Fabre and Johnny Angel this morning. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing okay. And how are you today?
I'm okay.
Yeah, good. Well, that's good. We're okay. Everyone's okay. Maybe the only guy not feeling too good right now may be Brian Hoyer, in a sense. And with yesterday's game, the Bills 26, Browns 10, quite different from the first half. You can't file your story early when it comes to the Cleveland Browns. I know that, but things really changed in the second half. Talk about kind of what happened after halftime and how we are where we are today.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I think people have been looking for Johnny Manziel to play all season long, but, you know, Mike Pettine stayed with Brian Hoyer, and it's easy to see why. Brian had put together 7 wins and had played pretty solid most of the season. But the last 3 weeks, you know, Hoyer had really struggled, and he threw 30 incompletions against Houston, and he threw 3 picks last week against Atlanta before rallying in the final minute to lead the win. And then yesterday, the Browns had chances to get up by double digits against Buffalo. You know, they were leading 3-0, but they had a missed field goal. They were in the red zone twice and only came away with 3 points. And then in the start of the third quarter, Joe Hayden gets an interception, and the Browns are set up, and they don't go anywhere, and Brian Hoyer takes a sack on third down that moves them out of field goal range. Then he throws another interception, and Mike Pettine had just seen enough of Brian Hoyer's struggles and decided it was time to see if Johnny Manziel could do something different. Now, he didn't commit to sticking with Johnny for next week against Indianapolis for the rest of the season, but my guess is he's leaning toward it. It sounds like he's leaning toward going with Johnny. And, you know, it's a pretty, I don't know, let's gutsy move when you're 7-5 and in the heart, in the thick of the playoff race, to make a quarterback move. But, you know, I'm not sure he had much of a choice yesterday, given Hoyer had played poorly now for, you know, going on 3 games.
Now, in his press conference, he made that because he says he prefaced it by saying, I'll give you the coach's answer about having to, like, look at the film. What do you think they're going to be looking at? Or,
well, you know, I mean, they look and they see exactly what happened on Brian Hoyer's mistakes. You know, on the sack that Mike Pettine was upset about that knocked him out of field goal range, was somebody open? Did he have a choice or did he have a chance to get rid of the ball and avoid the sack? On the interceptions, it sure looked like on the first interception at the end of the first half that Josh Gordon ran the wrong route, and that if he cuts inside like Hoyer expected, it's probably a 20-yard completion rather than an interception. So do you say, okay, let's erase, you know, let's take that away from Brian Hoyer, let's consider, you know, that he would have had an extra field goal, okay? And then you look at Johnny Manziel, and he led an 80-yard touchdown drive as soon as he came in, finished it with a 10-yard touchdown scramble, which is something Johnny can do that Brian can't do. Brian's not a scrambler, and Johnny gives you that added dimension. But beyond that 10-yard scramble, did Johnny do anything else? You know, he completed 5 passes. You know, most of them were easy throws. One of them was close to being intercepted. He almost had a disastrous fumble for a Bills touchdown that was overturned by replay. So, you know, you look at that on film, and then I think the biggest issue is, Mike Pettine said this from day one when he talked about the quarterbacks, is every week the staff gets together and says, okay, who gives us the best chance to win? And it's always been Brian Hoyer. But lately, the conversation's been more lively. That's what he said to ESPN's Sal Palantonio after he talked to the whole media group. He said, you know, the conversation's been more lively. The door's definitely open to go to Johnny. Well, I think it's a legitimate conversation to think, okay, do we go with the guy that we have seen win us 7 games this year, seen win 10 games in 15 starts, knows how to run the operation. We know what we're going to get from Brian Hoyer. We know that he can win games versus a guy that has taken
25 snaps in the league. We don't know if he can run the operation. We're not sure if the moment's going to be big too big for him. All of this in the midst of a playoff race that the Browns haven't been in a long time. If they win their next two games, which are at home, they could easily be in first place in the division. So I think it's a difficult call. And Mike Patton, you know, this is why he gets paid a lot of money. A rookie head coach has to make a huge decision in the next couple of days.
Scott, is there a concern that even though the record is 7-5, they're not going in the right direction or don't play at a high enough level game to game?
I think it comes down to how well Brian Hoyer's played lately. I think that's what it boils down to. If you know, it wasn't that long ago. It's less than a month ago that he went down to Cincinnati in prime time and led a decisive 24-3 win, and I thought played a really solid game. Since then, he struggled, and the struggles have been obvious. And, you know, I don't know if there's a lot going on for Brian Hoyer. He's in the last year of a contract. Johnny's been breathing down his neck, you know, since May. He's had Johnny behind him. Every time he plays poorly, the kind of pressure gets ratcheted up. And I think it came to a point last week against Atlanta when he threw those interceptions in the fourth quarter that Brian could feel that kind of the job was slipping away from him. And it was obvious in how upset he was, despite the fact that he led the winning drive in Atlanta. He was almost inconsolable after the game. And I think it just the whole nature of his situation kind of got to him. And you know, it showed up with a couple interceptions. He and Josh Gordon aren't on the same page. I think it just came down to he was going in the wrong direction, and Mike Patton is trying to figure out a way to get this team the three wins they need to get to the playoffs. And 3 weeks ago, it was obvious that Brian Hoyer was the right choice, and it's not so obvious anymore.
Obviously, this is going to be difficult then for the coach because you put somebody in. If that doesn't work, you go back and forth, and then we start into this whole kind of – quarterback carousel kind of thing that may or may not occur. How much of an impact does it have as far as who we have as the opponent, the Colts next week? It's a home game as well. Do they ever put any of that thought into it as far as making a decision?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure it comes in the mix. Like, on one hand, he says, okay, it's home. That's better for Johnny because he doesn't have to worry about, you know, a silent snap count. And they'll have the crowd will be behind him so great because, you know, a lot of this fan base wants to see Johnny. You go, Indianapolis doesn't have a great defense. You know, so maybe it's not like Johnny would have to face Pittsburgh for the first time or Baltimore or even Buffalo, which has a really, really strong defense. So I think that is an advantage when you think about where Johnny play. You know, having said that, it's a huge unknown. I think that you kind of know what you're going to get from Brian Hoyer, and some people would say, well, you know, and that's why you wouldn't start him. But I go back to that Cincinnati game. It wasn't that long ago when he played well against Cincinnati. He's still 10-5 in his career as a starter. So I don't think it's a no-brainer decision. I think Mike Patton's leaning toward going with Johnny Manziel. I expect him to go with Johnny Manziel, but I don't think it's a no-brainer. I think you could start Brian Hoyer, and if he struggles again, you make a quick switch to Johnny Manziel. I think if you start Johnny Manziel, it's tough to make a quick switch to Brian Hoyer. So I could see both sides of it, and I'm not sure what I would do.
Scott, any other bright spots in yesterday's game for the Browns, or is it just let's move on?
Well, you know what? I thought Joe Hayden played great. And the defense as a whole shut out the Bills in the first half, which doesn't happen very often. You know, they wore down in the second half a little bit. Turnovers are huge. Terrence West fumbled. You know, the Bills scored 10 points or 14 points in 10 seconds, and that's where the game switched. But Joe Hayden was phenomenal. He held Sammy Watkins with 3 catches, I think, for 11 yards. 2 of those were swing passes behind the line of scrimmage. He had a great interception in the third quarter that could have been a play that let the Browns go up by double digits. Instead, it was just a great individual play. He blocked a field goal at the end of the half. I thought Joe's played phenomenal. And for a guy that got off to a rough start, he's now played great for over a month, which is a good sign. But there weren't a whole lot of positives. The Browns didn't run the ball. Josh Gordon was, you know, hit or miss and not on the same page with Hoyer. Terrence West had the giant fumble that Mike Patton called. you know, inexcusable and change the whole game. You know, when you only score 3 points for 3.5 quarters, there's not going to be a lot of positives.
We're talking with Scott Petrek of the Chronicle Telegram, Browns beat reporter. The Browns, I guess, also suffered some injuries yesterday, too.
Yeah. You know, you start with the center, Nick McDonald, who I think could have returned, but he got hurt in the first quarter. His ankle kind of got fallen on from behind. So they went with Ryan Seymour, who hasn't played. They're down to their third center with Seymour. So they lost him. Tight end Gary Bonish took a huge shot to the ribs. He didn't return. And that's another position that's been weakened because Jordan Cameron hasn't played 5 weeks with a concussion. We don't know when he's going to be back. I thought he'd be back this week, and he wasn't. And then Miles Austin, on Johnny's first completion in the NFL, tried to leap over a defender and took a giant shot while he was in the air. Stayed in the game, and then afterward complained of abdominal pain. It was taken by ambulance to a Buffalo area hospital. He was diagnosed as a kidney injury. He stayed overnight for further observation. So those are three pretty significant injuries.
When Johnny took the field and led that drive, what did you notice or see how either the offense changed or people kind of responded in a way? And how do you think that's going to play out if Johnny does start the next game?
Yeah, you know, I think there's an added excitement level just because it's a change and there's something about Johnny. There's a charisma that Johnny brings. From an offensive standpoint, what you saw was the same kind of offense. The only difference is, in my opinion, is that Johnny gives you the threat to run. So when he rolls out, like the Browns run all those play actions where then the quarterback rolls, and Brian's always looking for the guy to throw to downfield. Johnny gives you the added option of if the guy's not open, he can scramble and pick up yards, which Brian doesn't do. And we saw that on the first play Johnny was in. They rolled out. It was a one-receiver route. Josh Gordon was covered. Manziel kept it, got to the corner, and gained 3 yards. You know, Hoyer probably throws it away there, and it's a zero, you know, it's a play of 0 yards, and Manziel gained 3. And then on the touchdown scramble, you know, it opens up in the red zone, and, you know, and Johnny found the hole and dove into the end zone. You know, and that, to me, that's, Johnny's presence in the red zone and ability to scramble and run and get outside could be the biggest change, the biggest advantage to a change, because the Browns have struggled in the red zone in the last 2 or 3 games. You know, in Atlanta, it was a huge problem. It was a problem again yesterday. Brian has to be more precise on his throws, which is tougher to do because the defense is packed in there inside the 20. Where Johnny can get on the edge and maybe he can run. You know, he took advantage yesterday and you can call some runs. So I think that's an advantage that Johnny brings to the offense and probably the only advantage that he has over Brian. I don't think he knows the offense as well. I don't know if I don't think he throws it any better than Brian. Maybe he's a tad more accurate. But his athleticism, I think, is something that coordinator Kyle Shanahan would like to take advantage of.
So what's the timeline this week, and how does that impact then what the Colts have to prepare for?
Yeah, Patton yesterday said he'd have more on the decision Wednesday. I don't know if he's going to try to keep it a secret, so the Colts have to prepare for both quarterbacks. I think there's also a chance that he could announce a decision today. I think it's more likely we get it Wednesday. But it could happen today. It could leak out tomorrow. It'll be by Wednesday at the latest. I do think there's also a chance that he says, we're going to use both of them, or he doesn't announce a starter and it keeps everybody in suspense. You know, I'm not a guy who is a proponent of a 2-quarterback system, but I might make an exception this week and say, okay, they could start Brian Hoyer and then play Johnny in the red zone or play him every other series and just try to get a spark and keep the Colts off balance. It's not like you're going to mess up Brian Hoyer's rhythm because he's been playing so poorly. So I think there's a chance that you could see both guys used in Indianapolis.
Well, it's going to be it's going to be an interesting December. But as far as Browns fans concerned, we're glad we're talking about some, you know, important games in December. But it looks like a tough road as we work our way through this month. We'll be talking with you again next Monday. Scott, thanks for joining us again. Appreciate it.
All